If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Is this virus, to our dismay, is spectacularly efficient in transmitting from person to person. So that makes me skeptical whether we would get permanent, sustained control of this without having a vaccine.
Spectacularly efficient going person to person. I suppose you could say the same thing for pretty much any pathogen, right? I mean, how easy is it for you to touch somebody else, give them a cold? How easy it is for you to leave a little bit of residue for, you know, what has commonly been used to compare the coronavirus. I love the way my little one says it, my little 8-year-old. Whenever there's a problem or we can't do something, he says, "Why, Dad? Coronavirus?" Spreading the flu, spreading the cold, whatever it is, these pathogens. Spectacularly efficient going person to person. Yeah, that was the voice, a raspy voice of Dr. Anthony Fauci. Why so raspy, Dr. Fauci? Was he like yelling all day long at these people? I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are listening to The Dana Show. Happy Friday, friends. Big hug to you, Dana. You and your long-suffering husband, Chris. And thank you to Steve and my brother Sugar Cane. We got lots coming up on the show. Man alive, it's a big stack of information today. So I'm going to focus on the coronavirus first. And if you want to join the conversation at any time, which, by the way, you can listen online. And once the show is done, you can go back and listen again and again and again and go back to the deep library, as we say here in Deep South Texas, of information. DanaRadio.com, DanaRadio.com. If you want to join the conversation, 844-344-DANA. That's 844-344-3262. And a little later this hour, I know Steve's going to help me cue up a conversation that I had with a real smart fella. And literally, he's a fellow. Centers for Immigration Studies, a senior national security fellow. And he wrote up a very interesting article this week, Texas COVID Crisis, and looking at an item that is news, but national news, again, in the continuing malpractice of journalism in our nation, the free press that is so expensive, because ignorance is expensive, friends. Up in New York, they don't pay attention to this. Up in Washington, they don't pay attention to this. Just very few people who need to take foundation money or need to take private donations to keep foundations going and do some real work of journalism, or maybe new media that's out there, the more... They call it conservative media, but no, I call it real journalism. Some of these online sites and pay-per-view, pay-per-read segments. Well, anyway, the Center for Immigration Study and this article from the Texas COVID Crisis, looking at how coronavirus is coming across the border, across the U.S.-Mexican border. Have you heard that on the so-called mainstream and the dinosaur networks, NBC, ABC, CBS? No. Have you heard that on the Clueless News Network? Yes, CNN, Clueless News Network. No. Man, I dare say I haven't even heard it on Fox. And we've got the multiple televisions that we have on here at this proud Dana Show affiliate, News Talk 710 KURV in South Texas on the Mexican border, right here on the border with Mexico. north of the river on blessed soil. We're on the U.S. We're in Texas, double blessing. Well, all multiple televisions, one of them is on Fox, and I'm constantly, you know, kind of like those lizards kind of moving one of my eyes to the side. What's going on Fox? Make sure we've got breaking news. I haven't seen anything like this, talking about how coronavirus is coming across the border. I have seen in the batch of news and information several reports how in Mexico, just immediately across the border in Mexico, they are prohibiting U.S. citizens from going to Mexico. Even in my market here, deep, deep South Texas, right before you fall into Mexico, you cross the Rio Bravo, across the Rio Grande. Even here in Matamoros, as I refer to them, Matamoros, because they have some factories, maquilas, they do some parts for cars, Matamoros. They, a few days back, they were prohibiting, saying, no, we don't want Americans coming over. And just south of the border in Arizona, they were saying some town was saying the same thing. No, we don't want Americans coming across the border because you guys stinky. You guys got a COVID breath. Well, actually, the problem is worse in Mexico than it is over here. But no one's talking about that. No one is talking about that. They're really battling the coronavirus thing south of the border, and it's handing their butts to them. So anyway, I've got that conversation with Todd Benzman on the Texas COVID crisis, the evidence that's coming across the border, Border Patrol getting infected, and some of these folks that maybe you hear about from time to time because they sing the praises of Mexico, how beautiful. And Mexico is beautiful, trust me. I grew up in Mexico up to a preteen. I didn't grow up as a rich Mexican elitist. My dad was a working stiff. And he saw it for over a decade, because that's when we finally had a chance to move. Worked over a decade trying to get a green card permit, get working, and start the path, long, expensive path towards citizenship in this country. And I didn't get a chance to really visit the beauty of Mexico until I actually made some money as a professional many years later. Me and my wife, we discovered the beauty of Cancun, the beauty of other places. I've seen Mexico City. It's beautiful, but tragically, it's different. It's very different just south of the border. And things are just done different. To start with, there's no 911. There's no police. Oh, defunding the police thing. Oh, they solved it in Mexico. They're run by cartels. Anyway, let me get off the soapbox and get to other stuff I wanted to mention on coronavirus. Coronavirus, bad. It's flowing north of the river, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay. In Texas, we're dealing with a pretty bad case of coronavirus. I know Houston, if you've been paying attention to the news, the mayor in Houston, former state representative Democrat, they're all Democrats. All the major cities in Texas, they're all Democrats. How could that be? How is that possible, Serge? I thought Republican was red. Yeah. I thought Texas was Republican. Yes, it is the senior leadership in the state of Texas. The representation at senior leadership in Texas, it is Republican. It's all red. I like to describe it as a shiny red, glossy surface in Texas. But once you take a bite, it's nothing but blue on the inside. The cities in particular, the big cities in particular, they're all blue. Now, I'm not saying politics played a factor in this, but up in Houston, former state representative Sylvester Turner, sweet man, very sweet man, but he's a Democrat. And on the policy side, you know, that's the camp he belongs to. But he's an older type of Democrat, nonetheless. And I was behind the scenes. If you guys have tuned in before, you know I volunteered. I've done news radio, talk radio, this gig for a quarter century now. It's amazing how quickly time goes by. It's amazing. Which, by the way, today, 27 years with my hottie, with my beautiful bride. I know she's listening. She always loves to listen to this show. I love you, babe. 27 years, our anniversary today. And 25 years now in talk radio and news radio. Sylvester Turner is one of the old Democrat names I used to talk about as a state representative. He's now leading the charge in Houston. I was behind the scenes. I volunteered during that four-year period as Donald Trump. I volunteered as a county chairman for the Republicans in deep South Texas, blue South Texas, for 4 years. And that cycle where, yes, the one and only national convention of any type that I will likely attend ever in my life, more than likely, was the Republican convention back in 2016 when Donald Trump got the nomination. And behind the scenes working and understanding what it is to be a chairman and all that. But I was warning, I was trying to warn friends who were in decision-making capacity at the state level, saying, don't do the state convention. That, look, that's just my perspective, because I know how things are played at the ground level. The county judge is Democrat, the mayor's Democrat, they're all Democrats, they're all, and they're dealing with a situation at their medical centers. Their COVID floors are full, and they're going to continue to be full because, for example, in my market, our hospitals here in Deep South Texas, they're all full. We're facing a situation where they're bringing in maybe, they're talking about maybe bringing in some tents and some setting up some extra spots, because here in South Texas, they didn't have any protests like they did in Houston. It was just a bunch of what we call pachangas, a bunch of parties here in South Texas. People doing barbecues during Memorial Day weekend, then 4th of July. Yeah, families, they, you know, Latinos, Hispanic, Mexican families, they just love seeing each other. And it's like 30, 40, 50, 100 people at one party. So they were spreading the pixie dust amongst each other. In Houston, they had 60,000 people protesting George Floyd's death in downtown Houston. So now they're paying the consequences. Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, they got situations at the medical centers. I told the friends at the decision-making thing in Texas GOP, just do it online, man. You're going to get the carpet pulled from under you. And then if you do actually conduct and nobody shows up, this is going to be a messy headline. It's going to be embarrassing. The Texas GOP, to eventually to President Trump. Anyway, they went ahead and plowed forward. I think, guys, you know, I hate to say I told you so, but anyway, now you're dealing with San Antonio. In fact, let me go to cut 13. All major Texas cities are dealing with situations on the ground at the hospital centers. Here's the San Antonio mayor. Go ahead.
I would say it's strained, to say the least. I mean, we have seen nearly a tenfold increase month over month in hospitalizations. And, you know, the unfortunate part is now the hospitalization demographic is also getting younger and getting more severe. We have a number of new cases, obviously, in ICU and on ventilators. And so this is a very strained situation where all the hospital systems and leadership now are going through their surge management because they're reaching the very limits of their capacity.
It is real, friends. I know. I suspect across this beautiful fruited plain and other markets where you're listening to the Dana Show, you might be yelling at me right now, no surge. It's a pandemic. It's planned to take down Donald Trump if it's not managed properly. Well, the Trump administration, President Trump, would look bad. But I agree with the president that we need to learn to live with it. We have a situation on the ground because people just being stupid. Protesting 60, 50, 60,000 people going out there yelling at the top of their lungs. And then at the same time, not going to church on the weekend. Trying to cleanse. You got other places that are prohibiting choirs from singing. But no, but they let the protesters go out and, you know, have a good time. Is it cut two up there somewhere? I think I saw Bill de Blasio as an example. Now, they're not a hotspot. They were a hotspot, but this is the thinking when it comes to protesting and yelling at the top of your lungs. Oh, but you can't do, you can't get together and do the family thing or do something else. Play cut two real quick,
Steve. Outdoor concerts, and it means things like parades. You know, things that here in the city can mean not just thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. It's just not time for that now.
What about protests? If people want to march down Fifth Avenue, are they going to be allowed to do so?
Look, Wolf, this is always an area of real sensitivity. If you're just talking about health, we would always say, hey, folks, you know, stay home if you can. But we understand at this moment in history, people are talking about the need for historic changes.
You can't do concerts. You can't do protests either. Anyway, that's the mentality. Folks, be smart about it. It's real. It's real. It's a very small segment of the population that is most vulnerable. It's a very small segment. Underlying conditions, the elderly, especially that population specifically is the one that needs to play defense, major defense. Just push back and isolate. Everybody else, just be smart. Try to keep your breath as close to you. Wash your hands. Do everything else. And keep your distance. Keep the cooties away, not only for COVID-19, but you know the coming flu season and colds and everything else, right? You want to join the conversation? 844-344-DANA. You are listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command office right here on the U.S.-Mexican border on blessed soil, the U.S. side. McAllen, Texas, studios of KURV Radio. Join the conversation at 844-344-DANA.
If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Head to danaradio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
As long as I'm president, I will never let your charter schools be taken away from you, be taken down. I will never let you down. I will never let Hispanic American or any American down. That I can tell you. Under our leadership, the Hispanic American high school graduation rate has reached an all-time high in the history of our country, and the dropout rate has reached an all-time low in the history of our country.
Man, I remember a time... As I was telling you earlier, I was just blabbing away. I was telling you earlier, as a young pup reporter quarter century ago, even the Democrats back then, the great equalizer is education. You're poor. You're living in a barrio, whatever they call it. You're living in a colonia. What is it? The great equalizer is education. Stay in school. Do your homework. Shoot for 100. Shoot for an 8 every single time. Your homework, your exams, do your homework, stay in school. The great equalizer's education. Powerful promise from the commander-in-chief talking to Hispanics at the White House yesterday. Had this big old Hispanic gathering. Now, I'm playing this little cut as a little preview of what's coming up later in the show. Yeah, I've got something to say about Goya foods being banned. You're probably going, what's Goya? What is that? And see, I bet you a whole bunch of these people that are, as I lovingly refer to them, güeritos, all my white brethren, you guys don't even know where to find Goya food in the supermarket, especially the libs right now that are going for the jugular, trying to cancel Goya foods because the president of Goya foods was praising President Trump at the Hispanic Day yesterday at the White House. Anymore, a little bit more on that in a little bit. Let's do some headlines, Steve-O.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
Housing market is real strong. Amazing, right? In this COVID economy, homes are selling like hotcakes. Houston and many other major markets, that's an example of the housing market. Homes selling real quick. Well, they should be, right? Because 30-year fixed rates just slightly over 3. In fact, some other financing, real good credit, like north of 2, like 2.8, 2.9, right? 2.8, 2.9. Nintendo fans being offered an opportunity of a lifetime. Online company looking for one person willing to play 50 hours of something called Animal Crossing New Horizons. Going to get $1,000 for playing that on Nintendo Switch. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are listening to The Dana Show, 844-344-DANA.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
A policy of never-ending lockdowns, month after month, would ultimately do more harm than good to public health, and so bad for our children. As we save millions of lives, now it's time to get back to work.
Yeah, the suicide rate, the numbers are depressing, and they make sense. I mean, like on one side, you got medical studies looking at the suicide numbers or attempted suicides. People are stressed. People are depressed. People are disconnected from family. People are disconnected from employment, from a money-making opportunity. They can't pay their bills. It is a very stressful time because we shut down the whole economy. Now, we can do Monday morning armchair quarterback things, saying, well, we never should have shut down the U.S. economy, and, you know, that was a big mistake. Yes, you can yell at the top of your lungs all you want on that, but Yeah, let's go back and step by step, take a look at how everything played out in February, played out in March, and played out in April. And it's still very fresh in my head because, yes, I've got the blessing of sitting in a newsroom every single day. How are you, friends? I'm Sergio, and for our friend Dana Lash. Dana, Lord bless you, friend. Thank you so much for giving us the call. We're broadcasting the Dana Show today from her, I refer to it as her Southern Command office. McAllen, Texas, Rio Grande Valley, Texas. One of the hot spots for COVID-19 right now. I got all the hospitals right now. Everybody's stressed. And when I told you last time, it is real, friend. It is real. And I know that because I'm part of the rotation of news and conversations around here. Every single medical center from DHR Health, Edinburgh, McAllen Medical, Rio Region, all these in my market. And then their amigos up in Houston and just north of us, the UT Medical System up in San Antonio. The COVID for the COVID space that they set aside, a whole bunch of these people, they're overflowing now. They had to find new spaces, new wings, new floors. It's real, man. Yeah, but it's limited. When it gets really bad, it's limited to a certain type of a person. It's people with pre-existing conditions, diabetes. And see, that's one reason it's pretty bad in Texas. Well, and especially South Texas, we're Diabetesville, USA. Literally, that's the name of a documentary, of a video, a little video summary of medically how bad it is down here. It's Diabetesville, USA. You want to see how delicious the food is in deep South Texas, but how fat we are? Yeah, that's reality. Yeah, and people with diabetes, bats, poor circulation, low defenses, yeah, that's one thing. We know who's vulnerable. We know how to live. President Trump says this thing about never-ending shutdowns, never-ending lockdowns. No, that's suicide. And I know that politically speaking, some individuals, they prefer that the country commit political suicide. I remember like Bill Maher, it was like 2 years ago, right, on his show. And I'm a fan of Bill Maher. I am. He's a lefty. He's crazy. He's stupid. But it's like watching a Dumb and Dumber type of comedy, right? It has a certain entertainment value to it. It makes me laugh. Bill Maher makes me laugh more often than he makes me angry. Because it's just stupid. You're stupid. I'm a fan of his. But one thing that did make me mad, but what was it, like 2 years ago? He was praying, hoping. This guy who doesn't believe in God almost seemed like he was praying for a recession, right? A destruction, for the pain of a recession, the pain of an economic collapse. Why? For political reasons, to get rid of Donald Trump, to allow the Democrats to win. And for some individuals I know out there, they're just salivating at the prospect that maybe they will see Donald Trump go down in defeat because of the economic malaise, the economic destruction that we imposed on ourselves for the most part. Now, granted, customers in China, that kind of stopped a little bit. Customers in Europe, that stopped a little because they shut down. Let me roll the clock back a little bit. Spain. Italy, France, the death toll every single day back, I want to say it was late March and going into April. And this was the constant cadence every single day. And just regular news radio. We have a news radio dog and pony show here at my station, KURV in South Texas. Every single day, the foreign correspondent, every single 800, 850, 875, 900. You know, in each country, every single day, dead, dead, dead. And they shut down their societies. China shut down first because they panicked. Maybe they released it. I don't know. I know it came from there. It's a Chinese virus. I was making reference to the whole lab thing and all that. But I would hope and pray somehow we can get an answer to that in the future. Because I'm not convinced until we actually get the Saddam Hussein, Iraq-style UN and U.S. international inspectors in there to go on the ground and see what's going on at that lab. Maybe they can trace back the DNA back to the lab somehow with this coronavirus thing. Anyway, back to the issue. China shut down. 70-some-odd million people, 17 cities all shut down. They super locked down. And it's easy, in a tyrannical society like that, it's easy to clamp down. Iron fist, everybody shut down, dragging people out of their cars, into hospitals, dragging people from in the, through the hallways. I mean, we saw a few videos that were leaked out of China and made it on Twitter and were in cyberspace. Not so easy, though, in, let's say, in Italia and in Spain. And in France, you know, one thing that our Latino blood has is Latin blood, whether it's, you know, branches off into French or España or, you know, whatever, in Italy. Oh, we're very tactile. And Mexico is the worst one. Oof. Kissy, kissy. Oh, ¿cómo estás? They come over and start, they kiss them. They kiss each other. Every single person, they kiss each other in cheek. They hug each other, kiss each other. Boy, once COVID-19 hit Italy, boom, like a bomb, right? That's why they had about almost 1,000 people dying every single day, and they shut down their society in a certain region of France, in a certain region of Italy. France did the same thing. They shut down and so on and so forth. We shut down because we're copying them. Okay, it's coming over here. It's in Washington State. We're tracing some of these cases. And so we shut down the whole nation for the month of April, right? It was pretty much the entire month of April. New York kept on going. We started opening up Texas and Florida and California. Now we're dealing with the original wave of this COVID-19 because we now know who the victims, the true victims are. You put COVID-19 in a nursing home like they did in New York, you get tens of thousands of people who die. And no one's holding Governor Cuomo's feet to the fire on the executive decision to send recovering COVID patients to nursing homes in New York. He killed, you can make the argument, he's got blood on his hands. He killed, what, 20-some-odd thousand people of the 40-some-odd thousand people dead in New York State? Could you? Yes, you could. For political reasons, if you trade places with crazies on the left who seize every opportunity to say, Donald Trump has blood on his hands, has 100,000 deaths. All these people, well, what about Governor Cuomo? What about New York? What about all these other places that put COVID-19 inside nursing homes at a time when they should have known better? The data was in front of them. They didn't respond to it. Nobody holds them accountable ever because they've got sycophants and people carrying their water. And the so-called mainstream media, the traditional media, the big networks. Shutting down the nation, shutting down the economy. You know where I would agree to do something like that? Under a different situation. Let's say it's a zombie apocalypse. And let's say like World War Z, right? Where somebody like scratches you or they bite you. And you become a zombie like within 60 seconds. Something like that. Something crazy like that. But it's not. COVID-19 is not as bad as that initial response made it out to be. We did need to learn, though. We were completely ignorant about all this. We are not anymore. We're not ignorant anymore. We know what works as far as distance, and we know who the victims are. That's why we need to set policy in a proper direction. Speaking of policy, information that our policymakers need to know is how COVID-19 is crossing the border. I'm going to go to that conversation, Steve-O, here with Todd Bensman. COVID-19 is crossing the U.S.-Mexican border, friend, and no one's talking about it. There was a write-up that senior national security fellow Todd Bensman with the Center for Immigration Studies put together and released it this week. Go look it up. Texas COVID crisis. Texas COVID crisis. It is coming across the U.S.-Mexican border. Go ahead, Steve.
The canaries border in the coal mine that prove it is coming across the border is our very own folks in green uniform, Border Patrol. What numbers were you? What numbers did you discover as far as number of Border Patrol agents that, even in my sector, I know you've focused on the 350 here, but is the number much bigger national when it comes to Border Patrol agents getting sick because they're encountering a sick illegal immigrants?
Well, what we know is, for one thing, Border Patrol, CBP, does not like to advertise how many agents are off the line because it tells the bad guys, gives the bad guys too much information. So they try to defer from talking about that. But what we do know is that Acting Commissioner Mark Morgan, about a week and a half ago before a Senate Homeland Security Committee, told them that hundreds of Border Patrol agents were off the line and in quarantine because they had come into contact with COVID-sick migrants on the job. So we know that there are hundreds off the line, and that tracks with what some Border Patrol sources of mine in the Rio Grande Valley, down where you guys are, said that there are about 350 agents just in that one sector who are in quarantine, about 120 of them actually testing positive. A typical way that this works is about 3 days ago in Rio Grande City, just outside Rio Grande City, a migrant illegally crossing came in extremely ill, asked to go to the hospital, was semi-conscious, and agents on an ATV and in a vehicle handled her, called the ambulance, brought her in. And then after they got her to the hospital and they put her on a ventilator, those agents had to be pulled off the line to go into quarantine just for the exposure.
From the Centers for Immigration Studies, senior national security fellow and author of the article I'm referencing right now, the Texas COVID Crisis, looking at the influx of immigrants, illegal and legal, coming in and exposing our border agents on the illegal side and just coming over here and coming to our medical centers on the legal side because they can. But you might be saying, well, Serge, wait a second. They shut down the border, Canada, U.S., and Mexico back in late March to tourism travel. Yeah, but they didn't close it to medical travel. And that's what's getting some of our medical institutions exposed. You care to expand on that?
Well, sure. There's a couple things going on here. First of all, you have American expats or American citizens who have been spending time in Mexico and got sick and found that the Mexican hospital system is completely swamped and overwhelmed with COVID patients.
Can we press the pause button real quick? Real quick.
Sure.
So they go to San Miguel de Allende, San Luis Potosí. They go to all these picturesque places in Mexico, expatriates. They take their retirement money and their checks, and they live a beautiful dream in Mexico. Nice food and beautiful weather, and everything is so nice and pretty and pristine. It looks like an oil painting. It's the beauty of Mexico. And I've seen some write-ups where they say, oh, the Mexican medical system is real good. We don't see any of the cartel violence. It's like they already said bye-bye to the U.S. Those people are the ones that are coming back to the U.S. asking for help because they're swamped in Mexico?
Absolutely. Those are probably the largest percentage of the ones that are coming back, especially in California to Arizona, because Baja has probably the largest population of American expats. They're going to be retirement age. That means that puts them in the highest risk demographic for catching COVID. About a quarter of a million Americans living in Baja. And we know that there are lots more Americans living in other Mexican cities, but the COVID hit Mexico later than it hit the United States. And when it did, the Mexican hospital system was not prepared. So it filled up fast. Doctors and nurses got sick. All the worst case scenarios happened in Mexico. So if you want to get treatment for COVID in Mexico, you're not getting treatment right now, especially in the border communities. So you're coming back home for that. And a lot of times they call the ambulance before they cross the pedestrian bridge. The ambulance is waiting for them on the other side, taking them to the local border hospital. Those are filling up so quickly that in California, they had to organize an airlift to haul COVID patients into interior California hospitals. The same thing happened in Yuma, Arizona. Thousands, almost overnight, within a week, you had thousands, 6,000, whereas before you had 45 COVID people in Yuma, all of a sudden you had, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 overnight. And same with Nogales. There's good reporting about this, transporting them inland.
Big thanks to Todd Benzman. Again, he's with the Center for Immigration Studies. I wish I had better data to share with you from my neck of the woods, deep South Texas. They're around here, media in Texas and border media a bit shy and pressing the local Democrats who run everything on figuring out who's coming in from Mexico to get
healthcare on this side. But it's there, and very suspect numbers, and the long list of names and ages and cities that people live in. There's a big chunk there that says no city to report. I wonder where they came from. Anyway, it's 9 minutes to the hour. You are listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio, broadcasting from her Southern Command in McAllen, Texas.
It's The Dana Show.
From The Dana Show Southern Command office, McAllen, Texas, Rio Grande Valley, very tip of Texas, proud affiliate KURV. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio, in for Dana. Get some rest, precious friend, and a big hug to you and your long-suffering husband, Chris. Oh, Lord bless him. He deserves a medal. Hey, thank you, Steve. So thank you, Steve. Toronto Blue Jays, I'm ready for baseball, people. I am ready for baseball. And if you tune in before, I'm a Houston boy, and that's my Astros. Live and die is my Astros. And they start playing on the 24th. But they're going from city to city, right? It's like the NBA's in a bubble. NFL, I guess. I actually have no idea how the NFL's doing it. But in baseball, they're going city to city. So but we got some Canadian teams. We got the Blue Jays. Well, one, we got the Blue Jays. Blue Jays players in their stadium. So, per multiple sources, players have been told, Toronto Blue Jays have been told there's a penalty if they are seen outside their baseball park. $750,000 fine and potential jail time up in Canada. That is how strict. That is how harsh they are up in Canada, which means anybody that goes play as the Blue Jays. No, I don't see them here in the Astros schedule. It's a weird schedule because they have like interleague play between the Astros, American and National League. It's all mixed up. 60 games. It's like the Astros are they're hosting Seattle. They're hosting the Dodgers, the Angels, Diamondbacks, the Giants. It's all over the place. I'm grateful for one thing. Astros and the whole cheating scandal thing, at least, you know, we're going to be spared the boos and the fans throwing anything at them. I bet you the pitchers, they're going to be trying to beam the players, though. This is The Dana Show.
This segment of The Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
And so you're allowed to talk good or to praise one president, but you're not allowed, when I was called to be part of this commission to aid in economic and educational prosperity, and you make a positive comment, all of a sudden that's not acceptable. So
yeah, he's the wrong president. That is Roberto. Now I would say it in Inanwe. That's the way I'd say his name, looking at it in Spanish. I don't know how the networks are pronouncing on it. Because all I've been doing is just reading up on this guy who I've never seen before. He's the president. He's the CEO. Runs the show over at a company, over billion dollar food company. I think it's like $1.5 billion Goya food company. It's Spanish food that provides beans and rice and staples and seasonings and you know, exotic things like cactus, like nopalitos. I love nopalitos. I love cactus, especially with eggs. But Goya Foods, man, since like the 1930s, they employ 4,000 some odd people. This guy, he sees Donald Trump as the leader that our nation needs. He recognizes the economic engine of our country that was properly brought back for wealth creation by Donald Trump. He's crediting Donald Trump, praising Donald Trump, but because he's Donald Trump, and you got Never Trumpers and a bunch of Donald Trump haters and a bunch of leftists and just crazy people. You associate yourself with the wrong people. We're gonna tear you down. We're gonna cut you off. We're gonna cancel you. This cancels stupidity. And that was his comments to the translator, obviously talking about, you know, I praise one president. Okay, I praise this president, and you guys are going after me. I wish I could tell you how he's gonna react to this campaign. I can tell you that there is a full court press against Goya Foods. You probably have never heard of them before. They provide the complete spectrum of of seasonings and spices and canned goods for food from the Spanish mother tongue, motherland, España, Spain, Mexico, Central, South America, the Caribbean. It's the spectrum of Spanish food is just so wide, so diverse, it's so delicious. So that's what Goya specializes in. And on this, that Hispanic day. Oh, by the way, I'm Sergio. Or as pronounced, I get a lot of beef, a lot of grief. Your name is Sergio. You should say Sergio Sanchez. Oh, my Lord. You know, and you know who tells me that all the time? Is people who, if I were to take with me to go sit down for a cafe at some spot around here and sit down with some chilangos. Chilangos are Mexico City people. And starts trying to speak Spanish. If they, these people who criticize, who try to, they can't, they could not speak Spanish to, you know, out of a wet Mexican paper sack. Oh no, but they overemphasize Los Angeles, San Antonio, Texas. It's Texas, man. What's the matter with you? There's an English way of saying things. There's a Spanish way of saying things. That's just reality. That's, you know, you want to be pronouncing everything. Let's just say Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I mean, what? Take all the words at San Francisco. These, oh man, and it just drives me crazy. And some of them told, hey, Serge, could you please translate this? Oh, Serge, could you please enunciate this? Oh, Serge, could you please record this in Spanish? I have the blessing that Spanish was my first language when I was a kid and up to like preteen. And at home, my parents continued speaking Spanish. So they preserved that gift. It's a gift. And I make money off of that gift. My pronunciation, immaculate. My translation, same thing. I could carry this show in Spanish if I wanted to. That's a blessing. And I know how rare that is. But these people say, oh, you know, you need to preserve the mother tongue. And they can't speak Spanish to save themselves. To ask for help, they're pulled on the side of the highway. And they're overemphasizing the, you know, the way they pronunciate certain names and cities and all that. Anyway, enough of all that stupidity. There's a full court press right now against this CEO of Goya Foods. And if you've never heard about Goya Foods, go to the international food section at your grocery store, wherever it is that you are in this beautiful country, the United States of America, the best country on the planet, period. It is imperfect like all nations are. And all nations have a history of imperfection. But friend, you need to teach yourself. If you say you love this country, if you say you love your grandparents who fought to preserve this beautiful nation, to make sure that we didn't all start taking German lessons or Japanese lessons. You know what I'm talking about. You need to do your part to defend and protect this nation, because there is a cultural rot that is endangering our existence as the United States of America. I, as an American whose parents were Mexican, you, as an American who your grandparents were Irish or German or Norwegian or Italian, Russian, wherever it is that you came from, precious friend, our unifying culture is liberty. And that we could lose, Ronald Reagan said it right, in less than a generation, we could lose that liberty. We are surrendering. Too many of you white people are surrendering your liberty, cowardly bowing, asking for forgiveness for the sins of your great, great, great grandfathers. Some of them, not all of them, because this nation shed blood, a lot of blood. Over 300 and some odd thousand young men lost in the battlefield to keep this union together and to fight against slavery. Well, Serge, it was a fight for state rights. Gosh darn it, the issue that sent us to war, separated us, and we had it had this country, brother against brother, at each other's throats, was the underlying issue of slavery. Yes, it was sin, but this country paid for its sin already in blood and heartache and generations lost. And no one examines. No one pushes back. Cowardly, they get on their knees. They, forgive me, I'm sorry. Get down, start kissing the feet of these radical leftists, BLM Marxists. Oh, careful. I can just hear some of y'all, because he'd tell me the same thing when I'm on my talk show. Careful now, Serge, careful. Other people have been ostracized. They've been taken down for less than that, and it should not be that way. What does it say about our nation? The people are individuals, an organized Marxist leftist movement, radical movement, is taking down individuals left and right who do not conform, who do not lockstep, goose-step march to the beat of their drum, this cancel culture in this country. Let me say, friend, black lives absolutely matter. And you know why I know that? Because they mattered to God Almighty. In fact, all lives matter. And I don't say that to insult anyone. I said because that's the truth. Jesus Christ died on the cross. I'm a Christian. Now, you not, you're an atheist. That's fine. You're agnostic. That's fine. Let me say my piece. And in this land of liberty and opportunity where we can exercise the First Amendment, you can join the conversation at 844-344-DINA. 844-344-3262. I, the Christian faith, my Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord and God Jesus, He died for everybody. He sacrificed for everybody. He loved everybody. All lives matter. That's the perspective I'm giving you. But black lives matter. The truth that absolutely precious black lives, all of them matter. Not only individuals who confront cops, and of the less than a dozen of them who are unarmed and are killed in any given year, not 1,500 of them, not 2,000, just about 9 or 10 of them, right? Unarmed. Which, by the way, the güeritos, the white ones, they more aren't armed, shot by police. More than just a police situation. But young people killing each other in Chicago. Young people killing each other in Georgia. Black-on-black violence. That should matter as well. Babies getting killed at checkpoints, improvised checkpoints at a protest site. People just innocent, trying to make a U-turn, and their little 8-year-old baby's killed. Those lives should matter. Absolutely. But you don't hear anything from this organization, this Marxist leftist organization that hates America and wants to take down this country. America, wake up. In November, November 3rd, it will definitely matter how you vote. Don't be fooled, friends. People tell you black lives matter. Yes, my brothers, my neighbors, my church, fellow churchgoers, my co-workers. Yes, I love you. You matter. And you know what? The black on blacks killing each other, they matter. The baby's been killed, they matter. And even I'll take it a step further. This genocide of Planned Parenthood killing all these babies, black babies, the initial hellish, satanic evil. Margaret Sanger wanted to purify in her own way, purify and get rid of the unwanted, get rid of the black babies. Yeah, they should matter as well. Absolutely, no one's having this conversation. They're just cowardly bowing to the altar of BLM. So I can't tell you, BLM the organization, I can't tell you how, what's going to happen in this whole Goya mess that we have right now, that's being targeted by radicals, intolerant, racist, leftist radicals in this country. President Trump brought together a bunch of Hispanic leaders at the White House. He put pen to paper on some executive order promoting Hispanic prosperity, try to parse it into the Hispanic community, job creation, business startups, education. President Trump promised he's going to fight hard, keep those charter schools, keep educational choice in place. So he was hosting this event at the White House, referring to Hispanics, a true treasure, he said. The executive order expanding access to trade schools, more education, more marketable skills, more money-making opportunities for all families and Hispanic families to work, get a paycheck, feed their families through education. Stay in school, work hard. You as an individual, you can succeed. President Trump, during the economic record before what he referred to the plague, this coronavirus thing, he pushed his demand to keep schools open. It was promising to keep charter schools open. Then it was time for the president, CEO, the CEO of Hispanic food company, Goya. 1.5 billion sales in food, 4,000 employees. Goya, successful. They provide the full spectrum of food in this country, Hispanic, different recipes. And because he was showering praise, extolling praise on President Trump, oh no. The radical leftists, they're going after him. There is a full court press to take him out, to take out Goya, to boycott Goya. The Dem politicians are now involved. I saw a little chyron on one of the cable networks a minute ago. Dems are pushing for a boycott. How? They don't hide their hate. They don't hide their racism. They don't hide their vitriol anymore. I find it, you know, what does that say about our country, where are we right now in our country that leftist America hating Democrats, Marxists, they can openly be who they are. They used to hide their intentions in the past. They no longer hide it. They're out there in plain view, plain sight for everybody to see. We're not going to tolerate you. We're going to take you down. We're going to cut you out. You don't think like we do? We're going to destroy you. So I can't tell you how Mr. What's his name? Mr. Roberto Inanue, Mr. Bob Inanue from Goya is going to react to this. I can't tell you if by Monday Dana will be talking about how he eventually was bent the knee to the rage mob or cut a big fat check to BLM or somebody just to shut these organizations up. It shouldn't be that way. But we need course correction in this country. We need to be introspective enough. We've done a really pee poor job of teaching our children the blessings of being an American citizen, the blessings of liberty and the fruits of liberty. Public schools, they don't teach it. They definitely don't teach it in Sunday school. You're going to have to teach it on your, you're going to have to learn it first and then teach it to your kids. If there's any hope of saving this nation. Okay, I need to get off the soapbox. It's already 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. Listen live online. DanaRadio.com from her Southern Command office, McAllen, Texas. This is The Dana Show.
Nearly a decade ago, Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, was founded by freedom-loving Americans to help you support the values in which you believe. A portion of every dollar earned goes to support organizations that fight for First and Second Amendment rights. Also, they support sanctity of life and the needs of veterans and first responders. For a limited time, you can take advantage of Patriot Mobile's Let Freedom Ring promotion. Now through July 11th, get incredible discounts, like a free phone or get a free month of service and free activation. High-value commitment plans to fit your budget. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com and use promo code FREEDOM at checkout. Their U.S.-based sales and support team will help you get unlimited talk and data and no hidden fees on their dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks. Call today to get the biggest promotion of the year. 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com, promo code FREEDOM. Let freedom ring with Patriot Mobile.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
From her Southern Command office in South Texas, you are listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and I appreciate you guys checking in. And I know the phone lines are all active right now. You guys hang on, and we'll take care of business here in just a little bit. Number to call, 844-344-3262. I'll share more thoughts on this old Goya, boycott Goya thing that is... There's a couple of ways that you could see this. One is, in my mind, it's potentially a political landmine for the left. They have no idea where they're stepping into because at some point, someone is going to stand up to the left and say, you do not represent American values that founded and allowed this company to expand, prosper, provide job opportunities and prosperity to other people and suppliers that feed into the Goya system. Goya is more than just 4,000 people who are employed at Goya. People have to provide beans and rice and spices and packaging and plastic and metals and trucks. The multiplier effect of Goya, if it sells 1.5 billion, can you imagine, multiply by what, 10, 20? How many billions of dollars does Goya represent in our economy? I would hope and pray that the CEO stands up to them and says, no. No. Sit down. You don't have a job. You're protesting all day long. Okay, well, that's good. Somebody paying you to protest all day long, that's fine. But sit down. You do not represent America. You do not represent the values that are America. And I'm voting for Donald Trump again. I would hope he says that firmly and without any reservation, any question. Shoot across their bow. Somebody needs to shoot across their bow. Okay, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Okay, shoot across the bow figuratively, okay? Oh, he's advocating for violence, gun violence. Oh, gee woes. President Trump touting a new executive order aimed at promoting Hispanic prosperity at the White House yesterday. U.S. border agents saying more illegal immigrants are crossing the southwest border. They reported they detained 40% more last month than the month before. This is the Dana Show from McAllen, Texas.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Caltech. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Caltech. Visit us at caltechweapons.com.
Well, burning churches is not protest. Tearing down statues is not free speech. And we're going to continue to stand with the freedom of speech and the freedom to peaceably assembly of every American. But we will join with you to stand against the rioters and the looters and the anarchists who would pull down our statues and try and destroy our communities.
Yeah, pull down our statues with the intent in their hearts. Many of these individuals, these Marxists, these leftists, these America-hating types, to tear down the United States of America. They see a wedge. They see an opportunity to get in there and take us down. Don't let them do it, friend. Come November 3rd, you do have a very, very clear choice. Anarchy or order? Oppression, tyranny, or liberty? It's real clear to me. Pay attention, friend, and tell your family and friends to pay attention and get their butts to the polls. I know it's going to be really weird. Probably will be very weird when it comes to election time and standing out there, you know, because of local ordinances and edicts, 6 feet apart and all that stuff. Just do it. Let's continue the push toward prosperity and liberty. We've been there before. It took this. We had to do it to ourselves, right? We had to take ourselves down. And we shut ourselves down. We shut down the economy. We were firing on all cylinders. That is the economic engine of capitalism and prosperity, wealth creation, opportunity. No guarantee. But you work your butt off, you can make it in this country. Just like through the years, millions and millions of legal immigrants who paid their dues, paid their attorney's fees, paid the State Department applications, waited their turn, got the work permits, got in line, got the sponsorship, got whatever was needed with family and sponsors to get a foothold on this country and then start using their sometimes meager God-given talent. Maybe they only had two talents instead of the five talents people that, you know, the five talent people in our community, and you guys who know scripture, you know what I'm talking about. Five talent people, anyone born in the United States, anyone who speaks English, anyone who has all their faculties and strengths to them, body strength, mental strength, everything, eyesight, you speak English, you go to school here, yeah, you got five talents. You won the lottery, friend. Some of these immigrants, maybe they have two talents, but they work real hard, and they came in legally, and now they're living the American dream. Goya, a great example of the American dream. Please do not bend a knee. I pray to God. Please do not bend a knee to the leftist, Marxist, America, Haiti crowd. We gotta fire back. You can't show me, and there's a lot of people that who are trying to come in illegally. Like, where's that report I had? In that little headline segment I had just a second ago, they're trying to get into this country illegally as quickly as possible for the opportunities of liberty. Border Patrol, they reported 40% more detentions in the month of May compared to April. It was the dark shutdown in our country, the COVID shutdown. Most of the more than 30,000 people were sent back immediately because they crossed illegally. If you did not know that, I don't blame you. On the U.S.-Mexican border, southwest border, from here all the way to California, 1,200 miles, Border Patrol catches individuals crossed illegally, they're sent back immediately to Mexico. It doesn't matter where they came from. The only reason they stay in this country is maybe they have a medical situation that needs to be attended to at the local hospital. As you heard in the previous hour, if you were tuning in, with somebody doing that analysis. But everybody gets sent back to Mexico. Is that cozy relationship with Mexico that I want to expand on with just a little bit? But you can't show me Mexican Border Patrol catching thousands of Americans crossing the border illegally, trying to go down there. You can't show me what who would sponsor caravans in this country to go south of the border through Mexico all the way to Central America to enjoy the paradise, jungles, and beaches and fruits of Central America. You ain't got the Koch brothers or who else, Trump Jr. or Dennis Prager, anybody else paying big bucks to put these caravans together, Americans going south. No, this is the shining city on a hill. They're coming here. And these leftists and these Marxists and these radical types, they don't see any good in America. They don't see any of that. They just want to take it all down. So after we lose this, after you vote prosperity and liberty and law enforcement out of Washington November 3rd, where do we go from there, folks? Huh? 844-344-3262. You're listening to The Dana Show. Let me clear the line. Okay, let's go to Dallas. Raphael. What's up, Rafi? Welcome to The Dana Show. You're on there, Rafi. Say something. Okay, I don't think Rafi's there. He probably already left. Oh, you got him now? All right.
And talk like you.
All right, Rafi, I didn't hear anything of what you said. Start over, brother. What'd you want to say? Go.
I am so sorry. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, brother. Go ahead.
All right, fabulous. Well, I just wanted to thank you for your thoughts, my friend. I'm up here in Dallas in the middle of craziness, and I thought I was the only Hispanic that talked and thought like you. So I appreciate you, man. Hang in there, and don't let them bring you down.
Bless you, brother. We're not alone, man. We're not alone. We are outnumbered. I am embarrassed to say that I say we, I'm talking about Hispanic, Latinos, and we're not a homogenous group either, people. The whole Hispanic, Latino, which, you know, academics in this country have bastardized that word into Latinx. What the hell is that? Latinx. I know there's people in Mexico City, the elite types, up back in Spain with a mother tongue Spanish back in Spain looking at, what did they just say? ¿Qué dijo? What did they just say? Latinx, the academics in our country who think they're just so wise and above everybody else and, you know, their poop don't stink. Latinx. There's no Latino, Latina expressing gender. We're just going to call, there ain't no such thing as Latinx. Outside of the brute ignorance of American academia and sycophants in media and entertainment, they're constantly licking their boots. Latinx. Let me take care of another call. Who else is there? Is Lupita. We're going to Las Vegas. Lupita, welcome to The Dana Show. How you doing, Lupita?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, my family came from Cuba. They fled. Oh, they were the first wave back in, like, you know, the late 50s. And when I grew up listening to all the stories and what they went through in Cuba, and then seeing now what this country's going through, and people don't see what's happening, it's killing me. I'll be honest with you. It is just traumatizing.
It starts by making the good guys the bad guys, attacking the culture and the history of the land, and brainwashing a new generation into becoming the new freedom fighters for whatever new movement is promised to them, which is the destruction of the very liberty and prosperity that they have enjoyed, that they have inherited, but they have no perspective of how good they have it. Yeah.
No, they don't. When I was in college, I had a professor that actually made the comment. No, he didn't know. I was living in Georgia at the time. He didn't know that he had a Cuban American in the classroom, and he made the comment that Castro had been good for the economy of Cuba.
Oh, my goodness.
And I about lost my mind. I was like, excuse me. And he was like, well, your family must have been rich. And I said, no, they were actually middle class. You know, they weren't rich. But they suffered when this whole thing happened. Castro destroyed Cuba, destroyed the economy. My father went to Mariel back in 1980. I don't know if you remember the Mariel boat lift.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. In 1980.
As a child, I watched that as a boy with fascination, and my dad tried to explain to me what was going on. Yeah.
Well, my father went there, And when he came back, now he left when he was like 15. When he came back from Mariel, he said, oh my gosh, the country that I left as a child is not the country that I came back to or that I went back to. He said it was destroyed. It was, you know, you would go to the stores to buy something and the shelves were completely empty.
Yeah.
It was a total, you know, opposite of what he had left when he fled in the late 50s.
Under compulsory collectivism, there is no incentive to succeed for the individual. There's no incentive for him, for her to succeed. Cubans, I love Cubans. Oh my Lord. I love my Cuban Hispanic family. I love Cubans. my roots are in Mexico. It's a different perspective for people coming from Mexico. The Cubans, because as you said it correctly, anything north of dirt poor, anybody north of dirt poor under Fidel Castro was rich. Meaning if you had just a vehicle, any private property, you could have had a ring, maybe a gold tooth, you had a small little villa, a little house. If you own property, you were an enemy of the state. And it will be seized so that the compulsory collectivist can redistribute all the wealth so that everybody is equally miserable and equally poor. That is the truth of communism, and that is the lie that our ignorant children in this country, these little white kids are out there with their Antifa hats and shirts and busting people over the head with their padlock-filled socks and attacking, taking down statues. That is the movement that they see an opening in this country to scare everybody, to scare the American voters to vote in a different direction. Do not be fooled, people. Yeah. They want to take this country down. I love my Cuban family. Anything else before I let you go, Lupita? I appreciate your call. Yeah.
There is a movie by Andy Garcia called The Lost City, and it portrays what happened in Cuba to a T. My grandmother saw that and said, oh my gosh, this is a fantastic portrayal of what happened. So I recommend everybody to see that. My kids have seen it, and I make them watch it.
Thank you, Lupita. Big hug to you, all the family in Vegas listening to us right now. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, broadcasting from McAllen, Texas, right here. Just north of the border with Mexico, and believe me, growing up in Mexico, I have a unique perspective of how wonderful this country is. And if you want to join the program, 844-344-DANA, 844-344-3262. I'm sending a big hug and a kiss also to all the Cuban family in Florida, which reminds me, WDBO country, among the many great affiliates in Florida. Joe, I got your text, brother Joe Kelly. Big hug to you. And Kitty George Washington, love you, brother. Big hug to you. All the Cuban family. I wish that the Hispanic community, which is, again, not homogenous. We've got Cubans who their grandfathers or fathers, mothers, grandmas, they lost everything to communism and compulsory collectivists, these tyrants, Fidel Castro. The same Fidel Castro celebrated and blazed on that shirt that this fool, Colin Kaepernick, when doing it initially about 2017 when he was doing the celebration of, you know, hating cops and cops are pigs and wearing those socks and doing his press conference and doing that protest in the NFL. Yeah, that same Fidel Castro that he had on his shirt, supposedly that's, you know, that was the poster child of freedom against oppression. It's brute ignorance. Cubans got it right. A whole bunch of them got it right. People have come to this country and worked hard to make it here as immigrants, legal immigrants. They've got the proper perspective. Some of them coming from Mexico. Some of them coming from Central America. But I'm embarrassed to admit to you, just looking at the voting patterns, it seems that every single national election, about two-thirds of the Hispanic bloc always votes left. Always votes left of center. Always votes for the Democrat. And that scares me because under situations like the present situation right now, and I bet you, and in fact, well, I go check the evening news over at, go to my mom's house, and you know, I take care of my mom at her own house. We got providers and all that. And turn on the evening news on Univision and Telemundo. I bet you this whole Goya thing is going to be distorted to beat people over the head and try to force the consumers of Goya food to stop buying Goya because the CEO said something nice about Donald Trump. Two-thirds, they always vote left of center. Two-thirds are swayed like sheep. Two-thirds are lost right now. And I hope we can retain them. We can win them over again to understand the values that brought them to this country of individual liberty, prosperity, and opportunity to work hard. to instill in their children a sense of honor and respect for this nation that provides them what their motherland, their mother country, did not provide for them, where they were starving or their family members starved or they had it real bad because of war and tyranny. And now in this country, they've got it real good. We've lost 2/3. Every single election, going back decades now, 2/3 always vote left of center. The Democrats have washed their brains. And I'm afraid that in a situation like this, with all the upheaval, I pray that somehow they have an awakening. And that's why we need leadership, Hispanic leadership in business and in industry, to push back against these fools, against these America-hating fools that are trying to take down our country. Somebody's got to shoot back in this cultural war and say no. These cancel culture soldiers, they do not represent the American values that allowed us to prosper and allowed your grandparents to come to this country and prosper again. I was right in defending the ideas that Donald Trump represents. 10 minutes to the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. Talk line is 844-344-3262 from her Southern Command office in McAllen, Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
Appreciate you checking in today. The Dana Show. I'm Sergio in for Dana. 844-344-3262. Let me try to squeeze in one call before we do the Florida man thing, at least. I apologize. I got distracted. And we got a whole bunch of callers today. I really appreciate y'all checking in. And chances are you got something really good to say. So if you just want to be patient, come around next hour and I'll try to bring you aboard. Who do you recommend, Steve-O? And just kind of let's do Otis is in Missouri. Otis, welcome to the Dana Show. What you want to say, brother? I think Otis just got out of the truck.
Can you hear me, sir?
Hello? You are on the radio, dude. Go.
How you doing, sir?
Good, man. Say your piece.
Good, good. I just wanted to bring up the fact that I don't hear a lot of people speaking about this, that from a spiritual standpoint, what I feel is happening at this point is they're pretty much ushering in a new world order. I feel like all the chess pieces are being placed. You've got a one-world government trying to be set up across the world. This is a global agenda. We can see that. And I feel like, you know, from like I said, the spiritual standpoint, this is what we're going to see. It's going to take place. I feel like the bottom level really don't have the power to do anything. And this is what we're going to witness. Our relationship with God is what we need to stand on. We're going to see these bricks being placed, and our salvation will come from Him and Him alone.
Amen. I'm there, but preaching. Yeah, the ingredients are all there for that perfect recipe for final state control over everybody's life. And you got a lot of people in these pews and pulpits. They're not even pushing back when the government tells those churches or those places of worship, you need to shut down. You can't be doing your choir thing and expelling air, you know, people next to each other. You can't be opening your place of worship. What? Excuse me. You found separation? Hey, you're the government. We're the church. You can't be telling us what to do. You can ask, but you can't be telling us what to do. Anyway, let's do Florida Man. Got to skip Florida Man? All right. I guess I'll share it with you next hour. I'm sorry, Steve. Your calls next hour at The Dana Show. 844-344-3262.
It's The Dana Show.
This is the double standard and the hypocrisy of the whole thing. It's okay for BLM to go around and burn down the country, terrorize America, actually kill people. They've done more harm than they've done good, Tucker.
Saving black lives.
When we stand up and give them a little iota taste of their own medicine, this is the extreme measures that are being taken, and we can't let it happen. We need to stand up. We need to get together, all Americans in every city, and take to the streets.
I don't care if you're white, brown, red, yellow, polka dot, rainbow striped. I don't care what you are. America is worth defending. America ain't perfect. America is worth defending. We need to get our bearings here real quick. That's some comments from a California couple. They painted over a Black Lives Matter sign. You know, and they're the ones who are being charged with a hate crime. This hate crime thing that branches off to hate speech, that is a narrative from statists and leftists and individuals who do not agree with individual liberty and protection. These tyrannical types who have created these new crimes to prosecute you and anybody else who does not conform with their way of thinking. How are you, friends? You're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command office, McAllen, Texas, from studio of KURV, News Talk Radio, Southern Texas. And we're just north of the river, blessed soil. When I have my talk show in the morning, that's what I say. It's blessed soil. It's the U.S. and it's Texas. It's a double blessing. Yeah, people going out there and they're protesting by the tens of thousands, some other individuals, in the names of Black Lives Matter or in the name of Antifa, as the anti-fascists who are acting like fascists and thugs and destroying everything, tearing everything down. Wake up, America, wake up. The only thing that can help start healing our nation is to make sure that we continue to move in the correct direction and take stock of the mess and the damage. That's the cultural and historical insurance adjusters to come in here and assess where did we screw up? Where did we screw up with this generation that we got a bunch of idiots? And some of them, they should know better, and they do, but they have adopted a Marxist mentality, and they hate this country, and they want to take it down. November 3rd, people, how you vote, it definitely matters. And let me say again, in case this hour is a standalone hour and it plays another affiliates, in my heart, absolutely, friend. Black lives do matter, as all lives matter. Because for Jesus Christ as a believer, all lives matter to him. He died for one and all. But the BLM, Black Lives Matter movement, the organization, no, do not confuse it. And it's been conflated. It's been confused in industry, in business, and you got a lot of fools who are not paying attention in industry and business, just writing checks, just, you know, get off of me, bunch of cowards in industry, bunch of white people, bunch of business, bunch of cowards writing checks. Here, get off of me. Here's a check for you. Now, please, okay, we'll bow. We'll do whatever you want to do. Here we are on the eve of over at the NFL, for example. They're going to be playing a Black Lives Matter anthem, Black National Anthem. I didn't realize that it was something like that. And then, what, so they're going to stand up for that. And I guess what, take a knee during the U.S. national anthem? Is that the way it works out? Stand up, friend. Stand up for your country. And you will need to stand up for your country on Election Day to either preserve this nation, preserve rule of law, preserve law enforcement, defend the police, not defund the police. You will need to do your part to save this nation. Because the enemies foreign is not the problem right now. It's the enemies domestic. That's the ones that we need to stand up to. And we got a lot of enemies domestic. And they even, they call themselves so-called representatives up in the nation's capital. Stand up for this nation. One of the reasons I am who I am this day, not only my father, who I was blessed, I was privileged, yes, privileged to have a Mexican man who worked really hard, tried to come to this country over 10 years legally, waited his turn, and he kept feeding my ungrateful mouth as a kid. He showed me a work ethic and faith in the Almighty. But I had a second father who was a Korean War POW, a veteran, and he loved this nation. He was from my Uncle Al from Mercedes, Texas. He's a postal carrier. And one thing I was remembering the other day, in the many long talks that he would have with me, explain to me what it was like on the front lines of battle in Korea and behind the scenes in the POW camps. He was POW for 2.5 years in Korea. One thing I remember after all those long stories, and I was in awe listening, just taking all that in, and he showed me honor and respect of our institutions, of our history, of our nation. He also explained to me, yeah, he had his own water fountain for just for Mexicans, right? Here in Texas back in the 1950s, just for Mexicans and whites. He explained to me all that. Despite all that, he loved our nation. He fought for our nation. He always defended our nation. He stood. When I tell you stand up for our country, I hope that you stand up and you go vote. And you remember, because I will remember my uncle, my second father, Al, my uncle, he was through marriage, through my aunt, who was my blood kin. He was an uncle through marriage, but he took me in like a son. He used to, I kid you not, he was a Dallas Cowboy fan. He wasn't perfect, too. He was a Dallas Cowboy fan. But every time on Monday Night Football or whenever he was watching the game, and they actually played the national anthem, whatever it was, whether he's watching the Olympics or what, my uncle would stand at attention in his living room. That was and I would just kind of sit there and look at him. He never demanded that I stand up, but he would give me an example. As the Lord is my witness, I saw that many times, and he taught me honor and respect of our nation. Our heroes, he was a hero. He and other soldiers who fought for our country, heroes of this nation. Stand up, friend. November 3rd is your date at the polls. Here we are with this Goya food mess that we're in right now, where the left, the Democrats specifically, they're politicians, Democrats. I saw these chyrons in the news. Democrats are calling for a boycott of Goya food because the CEO of Goya food was extolling praise on the president. Let me see if I can find a little bit of transcript here. Let me see if I got the right one. Give you an example. And to you, President Trump, I want to thank you for your understanding and the help that you've given to everybody on issues of commerce and trade. What I mainly appreciate is that you never seek to impose anything on countries like Mexico, for example. You have not tried to treat them like colonies. You've honored independent nations. Like making reference to honoring our country is independent, they are independent. Everybody's sovereign. Everybody needs to pull their own weight. You have treated those nations as what they are, a country, dignified people, Hispanic, Latinos, Mexicans, as dignified people, free, democratic, and sovereign people. That's right. That's a little bit, just a transcript of Andrés Manuel López Obrador, AMLO, the Mexican president, who was at the White House celebrating the new trade agreement with the U.S., showering praise on President Trump. It's amazing how flowery the language was. AMLO, the Mexican president, with President Trump. So, for everybody on the left that is now going after Goya for the praise that the CEO of Goya was showering on President Trump. So what's next, huh? You guys going after Mexico? Boycott Mexico? Is that what's next? Cancer culture. Cancel Mexico. No more trips to Cancun. No more trips to Mexico City. No more tourism. You're going to cancel Mexico now? Because AMLO, the president of Mexico, came over here and was hugging on Donald Trump, virtually hugging on him. He had some flowery language for President Trump. So what's next, huh? Steve, well, let me clear. I know a lot of people called in, Steve. I'm sorry. I've been doing nothing but just flapping my gums this afternoon. Who do you want me to go to next to try to? Okay. 844-344-3262 is the number to call. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio, in for our friend Dana from Southern Command here in McAllen, Texas. You said Mark, right? Mark in Connecticut. Welcome to The Dana Show. What you want to say, Mark?
Well, hey, how you doing, Sergio?
Good, man.
So, you know, my blood boils every day when I listen to this show and all the shows on the station. I just don't know what exactly the problem is where you know, when you see all the demonstrations they're doing, I can't get why people who have, you know, the same train of thought that we do aren't hitting back with the same kind of thing. And it's just, it's so frustrating to me. This guy from Goya, you know, I called Goya. I'm lucky to be where, you know, I'm doing good with my business. Everything's great thanks to our president and, you know, and a lot of hard work. But I called them and I pledged 10 grand to the company if it's affected at all by him praising the president. Yeah. It's just people have to support our president if anything's going to happen that's good. I mean, it's just, you know, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like if he doesn't get reelected. I hate this.
Well, I had a little stack of paper. Thanks for the call, Mark. Don't let it get you down, man. You don't need the stress. I hope that at some point you find the peace of leaving all your stress at the altar somewhere, man. It's don't let it get you down. But be informed, man. I'm telling you, be informed. Yeah, if Donald Trump doesn't win, let's see here, a little stack of stuff that I had. Let's see, Joe Biden. You do remember a few weeks back, Joe Biden talking up Robert Francis O'Rourke, you know, top of the morning, this nice Irish boy who, you know, you talk about cultural appropriation. Well, I guess because it's his bloodline and his mama and whatever. Okay, fine. But, you know, pretending out there pretending to be a Mexican, pretending to be a Latino because he's from El Paso. He's West Texas, right? And, oh, he wants to come after everybody's rifles and guns, right? Beto O'Rourke. Joe Biden, he'd like to appoint Robert Francis O'Rourke to look into that, see how what needs to be done to suppress Second Amendment rights in this country. You do remember that headline a few weeks back, right? Right before this whole COVID thing. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, you know, she'd be helping in a policy panel. What type of policy, what type of ideas could AOC possibly bring to a Joe Biden policy panel if it's not the destruction of American industry, the destruction of the combustible engine, the destruction of oil and fracking jobs and anything that's petrol related? Remember that crazy scheme, that Green New Deal? Yeah, Joe Biden, yeah, he said it plainly. In fact, I think he said it most recently. He'd like to bring back the Obamacare individual mandate. You know, the penalty, you know, the way it's written up in Obamacare, the penalty that Chief Justice John Roberts did all these legal hyperextended contortions to say, oh, it's a tax. Oh, yeah, let me look at it. It doesn't say tax, but it's a tax. The government has the ability to tax. So I'm going to defend Obamacare. It stands. Boom. Yeah, remember that? Yeah, he's going to bring back that penalty, that fine for you not purchasing insurance. Oh, and that victory this week in the high court. Little Sisters of the Poor. Yeah, you guys hang on to your hats. A little headgear. Joe Biden as president, he would like to restore birth control mandates on insurances. You pay for it no matter who you are, whatever religious claim that you have. You don't have that. He's gonna work hard to get that reinstituted. Already 21 minutes after the hour. Sorry, Steve. Let me go and pay some bills. It's 21 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. The talk line is 844-344-3262 from her Southern Command in South Texas. I'm Sergio.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
The Dana Show from McAllen, Texas today at the one of the proud affiliates, KURV Radio. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and you can join the conversation, and I appreciate you all checking in, being so patient. I'm just ranting today. I guess it's therapy for me, and I'm getting it out of my system. I'm feeling a whole lot better after every segment. If you want to join the conversation, I promise you, I'll join you here in a little bit. I know the lines are probably full right now, 844-344-3262. Just a quick observation on AMLO. Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, AMLO, the Mexican president, who was at the White House celebrating the NAFTA 2.0, or as my news director buddy Tim says, USMCA. That's USMCA, the new trade agreement. So they signed it, they were celebrating it. AMLO is a populist president in Mexico. He's like the Donald Trump of Mexico. because his was like Mexico first and defend Mexican and defend Mexico's sovereignty and integrity, blah, 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 blah. Boy, he's getting an earful now in Mexico City because they see him as a lapdog now of Donald Trump because he came over here praising Trump and showering all sorts of praise on him. I fear for the remainder of his administration if the Democrats win. They're going to come at him big time. Okay, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
USS Theodore Roosevelt back home, San Diego, beautiful San Diego, California. Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, six-month deployment, included a COVID-19 outbreak. A six-month deployment saw the ship taking an unexpected detour to Guam. Remember that? Yeah, they got a new captain on the way back home. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey limiting indoor dining to 50% capacity because of the big COVID-19 outbreak in Arizona. Let's see. Oh, and racism has been defeated thanks to Scrabble. Scrabble, the game, removing racial and ethnic slurs from its official word list for tournaments. They did a poll of the membership, the players. The Dana Show from South Texas. Talk line 844-344-3262.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
This is The Dana Show. Got 35 minutes after the hour. Well, we got the weekend around the corner. You know, it used to mean something, right? You got this feeling that it's a Friday, and I don't know about you, but like for me and my beautiful bride, my precious Delia, 27 years strong today. Love you, babe. We probably would have, you know, taken the kids to a little gym and, you know, go out for a movie, get some dinner, do other, you know, things that people who are in love do, and then go pick up the boys, right? But, geez, it's like, where do you go? Front yard, kick the soccer ball for a while. It's like nothing's open, right? Or if it is, you just don't want to go. Or, you know, I'm looking forward to getting beyond this weird season that we're in. So I'll talk sports here in just a little bit. Some really cool headlines related to sports, just some funny stuff. And at least one billionaire who would like to open up his wallet and start giving guaranteed checks to everybody. Okay, man. Bring it on, man. I'm a Twitter fan too, Mr. Dorsey. Let me clear at least a call right now. Let me go back to Indiana. Nino is joining us from Indiana on The Dana Show. What's up, Nino?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good, my man. You know, for the academics in certain higher education institutions, your name actually would be Ninex now. You're no longer Nino. You're Ninex. What do you think about that?
Well, I love America. That's all I can say.
Okay, brother. What you want to say?
Well, I basically wanted to say, you know, I listen to your show, you know, and... you know, I'm just asking, when's the us versus them mentality going to end? I helped bury the first five Marines killed in the state of Indiana, and then I turn around and was a senior Marine at the very first Wounded Warriors. And, you know, we try to stay aware from politics and everything. And, you know, I try to help our president by going to Washington twice last year and, you know, try to introduce a flight code change. You know, everything from the national anthem debate to... this whole division of us versus them, people don't even know what the flight code is and what is right and what is wrong. So I've tried through my Indiana Republican senators, both Senator Young, Senator Braun, and Congress Lady Jackie Walworski, and nobody cares. I went to Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, you know, all the big players you see on TV, and yet nobody cared to help, you know, a 20-year Marine Corps veteran to help bring our country together. So I love listening to the show. I listen, you know, during work and what have you, and just wanted to see how I can get a message of unity for all Americans, not just some of us.
You just did, in part, brother, by using Dana's, Dana Lash and her talk show. This is her talk show. My precious friend. She, you know, all these hundreds of affiliates nationwide. You just did. And thank you for, you know, voluntarily doing what you've done to protect our way of life in our country. And it's going to require many more millions of patriots like you to stand up. November 3rd is the first time that we need to stand up, but it's going to require that millions learn liberty, learn honor, learn about our nation's heritage of liberty and heroes. And after you learn it, then teach it to your children. The resources are plenty. They're not as numerous as the very leftist-minded, very leftist and Marxist-minded academic institutions in this country. But we have plenty of resources out there through Hillsdale College, and you got the Heritage Foundation, and you got PragerU, and many other resources to tap into with a saving. One of the redeeming values of social media is that we are still free to exchange that information, to go to social media and go find it and read, learn, and pass it on. Because it's not happening in public schools. And not everybody has the benefit of having an uncle like I did, which a second father of mine, Al, a Korean War vet and a POW, to teach me, instill in me respect for country and honoring our heroes. And I hope I honor him in remembering him as well. Thank you, brother, for everything you've done. All right. Let's talk deportes. Let's talk sports now. Let's see here. Got a couple of headlines I want to get out of the way real quick before I get to the one that Steve-O sent me, our producer. And see, from North Texas, Texas Rangers, part of the culture war, too, in baseball. I don't know if you knew this, but at the apex of this, the burning cities and the protests and the riots and taking down statues and taking down history, man, they went after everyone. Everyone. They didn't even know who they were taking down, right? Some of these fools. And I don't know if it was management at the baseball field up at the Texas Rangers or the city. I don't know, but they took down a statue that represented the Texas Rangers, like a police officer, a Texas Ranger, because of a history, a dark and soiled history, and how they went about enforcing law on the U.S.-Mexican border years ago. Well, we got to take that one down as well. And there was a call that the Texas team, you guys need to change your name too, the Texas Rangers. You know, that's one way we need to – no, you need to learn from history. But they took the statue down anyway. So Robinson Chirinos, who's, I like the Rangers because they're from Texas. I'm a big fan. I'm a bigger fan of my Astros. Yes, I will not apologize. And I'm glad that there will be no fans in the stands for the Astros this year, because they're going to have to pump in the booze into the stadium for my Astros. But again, first up on the Rangers, Robinson Chirinos, who I love his name. Every time I hear him in the sports write-up in the sports reports, I'm always thinking of starting my morning with a big bowl of Chirinos cereal. Robinson Chirinos saying he plans to experiment wearing two masks during the baseball games. The catcher, and he's the catcher, right? Who does he have right behind him bringing down his neck? The ump. Right? And then the batter's like right in front of him, also breathing down on him or spitting sunflower seeds or whatever. I wonder if in the baseball code they have limited or prohibited any of these dudes up at bat from actually spitting out like sunflower seeds while they're up there batting, or just spitting. It's like a nervous tick. Some of these guys were always spitting out like a nervous tick. Man, you talk about social distancing. There ain't no social distancing. So Robinson Chirinos, part of this complete breakfast, he's saying he's wearing two masks when he's out playing during the very shortened baseball season. I can't wait, friend. I can't wait. I hope it happens. There's still it's 2 weeks. In fact, it's 2 weeks from today. The 24th is the first game of. It is the 24th, right, or 25th? It's Friday the 24th. I know that's when the Astros start. Maybe there was supposed to be a game on Thursday, but the 24th is the start of baseball season.
I think there's two games on the Thursday.
There's two. Okay, thank you, Steve-O.
The Yankees and Nationals.
That's what I thought. It was the World Champs, the Washington Walgreens team, and the Yankees that were supposed to play on Thursday. It was when somebody else. Speaking of staying away from each other, on the NFL side, I thought I'd mention this real quick. I don't know about this whole social distancing thing at the end. How can you achieve social distancing in the NFL if you got to go head to head and grab the dude and throw him to the ground and just you're literally blowing, coughing, yelling in each other's faces as you're tackling each other. So here's the latest rule from the NFL as they're hoping to get up and running. And by the way, just sidebar for me, this is just me personally. As I remember my second father, my Korean POW uncle, who would stand every time he would hear the national anthem on Dallas Cowboy football games that he'd watch on TV. I kid you not, he'd stand up every time out of respect for his flag, for our flag. Since 2017, since this Colin Kaepernick started taking a knee and doing all this stupidity and grabbing the wheel of our culture and taking us off the freeway violently, and now he's being celebrated as some type of hero. That's how stupid and ignorant we are in this country. Lord help us. We got to do a better job of learning and teaching about our national honor and heroes. Anyway, so the NFL has got what they want to do. They got these new rules telling the players they cannot be swapping jerseys anymore after the game. So I guess I didn't know that was a tradition. I guess, they take their jersey off and give it to their buddy, their player on the other team. They collect them. I don't know what it is. But they can't be doing that because it's all sweaty and full of stuff, right? Like, why even bother? Because you already had, four quarters of yelling and screaming at each other and literally spitting in each other's face as you're tackling each other. Anyway, that's the part of the union stuff and NFL owner stuff. And I have no idea how they're going to make payroll. Maybe it's just going to be broadcast rights and other companies that cowardly will bow at that rage mob altar as well. So here's the one that Steve-O sent to me. This reminded me. And if you got the audio of that, Steve-O, the story that you sent me here, put it on standby. My producer here in South Texas, Freddie, my Judge Dredd Fred, Freddie, my producer, he's a big fan of European soccer, a.k.a. football. And he watches. But see, they've been in Europe, they've been experimenting with holding their soccer matches, soccer matches, and broadcasting via two channels. One is, the stands are empty. There's no fans in there, and that's like a religion in Europe is soccer, right? But the stands are empty. But they've been pumping audio in the broadcasters. Like, what did you call it, Steve? Oh, enhanced. Enhanced was the boring version with no fans, no audio. It's just some dudes kicking the ball around. It's the only thing you hear is maybe just them kicking the ball around. And then the other one with a producer actually injecting awes and yelling and boos and whatever, like the crowd is there. Well, coming to Major League Baseball this season, as they broadcast all the games. There you go. There we go. Home run or something like that. I'm all right with it. I just want them to play. It's like a political trend, right? Where right now a candidate would have like the momentum, or something happens, or Joe Biden sticks a shoe in his mouth again, and he says something like, "You're not black if you don't vote Democrat." One of those things, and then he goes down to the polls. Between here and Election Day, it is an eternity. For me, a baseball fan, Astros fan, these next 2 weeks are an eternity, and I'm crossing every finger and toe hoping that the baseball season actually becomes a reality, because in this weirdness that we're all in, I don't know, I'm just thinking somebody's going to wind up pulling the plug, like Mayor Sylvester Turner in Houston, the Democrat, who pulled the plug on the Republicans at their convention in downtown Houston. Maybe he'll say, Astros, no, you guys can't be playing at downtown Minute Maid Park. I canceled the Republicans. I'm canceling you guys, too. I don't know. I'm not saying Sylvester Turner's going to do that. I'm just thinking I'll believe it when I see it. And, yeah, pump in the crowd noise. And when they hit a home run, I want to hear the cheer of the crowd. I don't care. It's like a laugh track. And, the sitcoms, which that did not escape. When my little boy, my older boy, when he was a little kid, he must have been like 4 or 5 years old, and he was crossing the channel on the Disney Channel, and they injected the laugh track. He looked at me all puzzled. The little kid, I found this amazing that he caught on to this. He said, I don't see any audience. What is that? Who's laughing? What? And I thought, oh, it's a laugh track. It's they put that in there to kind of tell you, okay, this is the joke. It's time to laugh. And he looked at me. I'll never forget. He looked at me. I think that's just stupid. that's my boy. But I'm okay with the cheering fans in the stand. We need a distraction. We need baseball. Play ball. And please, please don't take a knee. Please. Don't do that. I lost my mojo for the NFL. I don't want to lose my mojo for Major League Baseball. I'm Sergio, and for our friend Dana Lash, this is her show. This is the Dana Show from her Southern Command office, McAllen, Texas, 844-344-3262.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Sergio, and for our friend Dana, Lord willing, and Dana will be back rested on Monday. You want to say hi online, my address on Twitter is at Sergio Talk, S-E-R-G-I-O Talk, at Sergio Talk. And also same thing on Parler. I use that same address, at Sergio Talk on Parler. I know old habits are hard to break. Yeah, Dana had a good interview with I guess he's the leader, CEO, owner of Parler. It's an alternative to the Twitters, as Dana says. And anyway, so but do the Twitter thing on Facebook. There's a lot of Sergio Sanchez people out there. There's like a famous soccer star from España, I think. Look for the cystic fibrosis window, little porthole, cystic fibrosis windows, and we can say hello. One more call before we do the stupid news, stupid audio of the day. John in Indiana, welcome to the Dana Show. What you want to say, John?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate you.
Yeah, bud.
What I want to say is, for all these NFL players and those people who want to kneel during the anthem, they need to watch the movie Taking Chance. And the actor, I can't for the life of me think of his name, he played Jack Swigert in Apollo 13, but it's about an Army colonel that escorts a veteran back to be buried. And if people want to know what heroism is really about, they need to watch that movie. You could show it at school. You can show it in your church. It is a very heartwarming, moving movie. And I say let them watch it and then kneel for the flag and see how they feel about it. That's all I have to say.
And Lord knows we got plenty of time on the weekend to do that, do nothing but watch movies all the time. Hey, appreciate the call, brother.
Okay, pray for America. Have a good day.
Yeah, pray and vote, dude. Pray and vote. Do your part. Don't forget. Let me see, I get a little headline. Hey, Steve, will you tell me how many seconds you want at the end? That way I can just lob it at you towards the end, okay? Hey, I wanted to mention this earlier, and because I was, you know, got on the soapbox and just flapping my gums, and, you know, like my producer, Judge Dredd Fred, tells me, it's getting you to shut up that's the problem. I don't know if Dana mentioned this in one of the segments, but I just found it real disappointing and personally infuriating. When I heard that Lakewood Church, Houston, and some big, very, very well-to-do mega churches, North Texas, First Baptist, Oak Cliff, Lake Point, Potter's House, all they took money out of the PPP. You know that paycheck protection program? Billions of dollars, that new debt, to try to keep small businesses afloat because the government told them to shut down. Yeah. They tapped into the, including, you know, on Lakewood Church, or motivational speaker out there. And maybe you're a fan or not. I'm not a fan, right? But $10 million house and all these nice books that he's selling. I think he has enough money in the piggy bank, in his piggy bank, to help make payroll for people working cleaning janitors over his place. Anyway, just my two cents on that. All right, Steve-O, the stupid news audio of the day. What you got?
All right. Nancy Pelosi was out there at a press conference, and someone asked her about the Columbus statue being taken down, and she had a very interesting metaphor. So,
you know, I don't even have my grandmother's earrings. I'm not a big, let's see what we have in terms of monuments in this.
True Nancy Pelosi, you really never know if she is all there in any moment that you speak with.